Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the last few months have been particularly tough for businesses, but also the ones we tend to leave out, social services and charities.
Yep, and one such charity which has seen exponential growth in its services because of the pandemic is Food from the Heart. They aim to alleviate hunger through their food distribution program and bring joy through the distribution of toys and birthday celebrations.
You know what? There has been some good news. In his 42 budget speech in Parliament last week, Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat highlighted the importance of social service agencies and charities. And he also did say, I remember, that more support will be given to them.
Yeah, this includes increasing matching for the enhanced fundraising program, which will have an additional $100 million added to its $70 million budget. And charities can apply to receive dollar-for-dollar matching on donations up to $250,000 each.
Oh, that's good news. Well, we also want to find out how Food from the Heart has been dealing with the increase in requests and how the 42 budget is going to help them. And on the line with us is Sim B. Hia, who is the CEO of Food from the Heart. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for taking the time, Ms. Sim. Let's talk a little bit about Food from the Heart. For those of us who don't know, could you share with us how you guys started? And, you know, more importantly, what's the aim of Food from the Heart?
We started off 18 years ago as a charity that collects surplus bread, unsold bread from bakeries, and redistribute up to those people in need or welfare homes or those residing in the housing estate. We are now a food charity that feeds the hungry through very consistent and long-term food programs, and we hope to alleviate hunger through very efficient distribution of food. And at the same time, we hope to minimize food waste.
So we want to make sure that we have this conversation and understand the context before COVID-19 and after COVID-19. So before this outbreak, how many beneficiaries did you have?
In 2019, our programs benefited more than 44,600 beneficiaries across all our six programs. This elderly staying alone with little or no family support, young families, single parent families, and those residing in welfare homes as well. After COVID-19, we are seeing more applicants, especially under both two programs, School Goodie Bag Program and the Community Food Pack itself. And in May alone, we are now packing 8,500 food packs under both these programs, and there's an increase of about 2,000 more households just nearly over the last 2-3 months.
And what is the demographic of this increase? I mean, what is the age group or the type of families we're talking about here?
The type of families now, there's a little bit of difference now. A lot of them have faced sudden income loss.
Right.
Food stoppages, you know, wage cuts. Their businesses were affected as well. Mm-hmm. And then they have ran out of savings. So they are not stable financially. They're struggling with food and living expenses. And I think in Singapore, one should not have to struggle for food. So some of the cases we're looking at are families with very young children who need milk powder. That is a new item that we have seen an increase in applicants asking for it. We are also seeing families with young children, as in, you know, they are still schooling, not working yet, young adults like 18 to 20, you know, NS men. So I think there's a change in the profile a little bit to the kind of families that we are now helping.
That is really quite concerning. What I wanted to understand was, obviously you say that you've seen this increase in the last couple of months, and what was it you said, some 2,000 or so extra families. Are you seeing that as a rising trend? And I suppose it's difficult to project, but what are you expecting for the coming months?
We are expecting more families to come forward as people are more aware of the programs, how we can help them, that's one. Two is that I think there'll be more families who will use up their savings, because if they belong to the low-income group of families, whatever savings they have, they would have probably used up in the next 1-2 months. So we're expecting a lot more families coming forward.
Okay, so let's talk about your six core programs. You have Bread Run, Community Food Pack, School Goodie Bag, Toys from the Heart, Birthdays from the Heart, as well as Marketplace. Obviously, based on the names, I am guessing these serve a different segment of your demographic?
Yes, very different. For Bread Run, we collect surplus bread and store bread in the evening after the shop closes. So, you know, we work with bakeries and welfare homes, and some of our HDB, you know, residents will benefit from this. We work through our partners. Community Food Pack, we work with Family Service Centres, Senior Activity Centres, grassroots organisations to have a food pack, dry rations every month. That pack also includes eggs, root vegetables and fruits. School Goodie Bag is a curated bag that is suitable for young families, and we raise funds to purchase the food items inside this School Goodie Bag that we work with partners in schools. So when schools went into home-based learning, this was affected as well. Toys from the Heart is a happy occasion. We actually raise toys, you know, used toys, pre-loved toys, or new toys. And we know we get financial assistance students to come in and select the toys that they want. Mm. Birthdays from the Heart, we actually work with 4 elderly homes, 4 children's homes, and we celebrate birthdays every single month. So we have 8 birthdays every single month. That is affected during COVID. Marketplace, we work with a supermarket chain, FairPrice, to collect the dented and sold food items. And all this are cleaned up, checked, sorted, and then it goes to people in need.
I mean, you just mentioned how the birthdays drive has been affected because of COVID. What other challenges have you faced as a result? Has it been difficult to get volunteers on board, for example?
Well, volunteers is our lifeline, and all our programs rely on volunteers. And they are all very badly affected. Community Food Pack is very affected. Birthdays from the Heart, we have no access to the homes because they are all ring-fenced to protect the residents there. So, but we continue to give the birthday cake. We continue to, you know, prepare the presents for them, but no volunteers. Packers, we need packers at the warehouse. We are very affected because with the 10 people, 1 meter rule, the capacity that we can take in, it has been halved. We had to get new space in order to run a second packing line. So all are affected. Bread Run is affected when confectionery closed. Hotels are closed. So, I mean, as in closed, as in their buffet. So we have no access to the bread. So food donation is affected. We cannot do food drives in school. Yeah, we are affected from all fronts.
Actually, I just wanted to point out that these guys at Food from the Heart, just based on what Ms. Sim has been describing, they actually do a lot in terms of like sustainability because there's a lot less wastages. You know, they're reusing a lot of things. Ms. Sim, so you mentioned fundraising and all that is affected. Food drives obviously has to be cancelled. Then, so what did you guys do in terms of fundraising? Any like digital fundraising, for example?
Well, we are one of the luckier ones.
Okay.
We already have an online presence. We already have online campaigns. But, you know, when COVID struck and a lot of things can't be done, we had to cancel our main fundraiser, which is the Passion Ball in April. Mm. We moved everything online. We started campaigns, you know, to help raise funds to buy food. Because obviously without food donation drives, you know, we had to get money to buy food. And we started online fundraising campaigns for that. And there were many good friends out there, partners, supporters, companies who started their own campaigns, you know, to help us as well. Their own in-house campaign among their colleagues, among volunteers, among family members. And it's thanks to their generosity that we were able to do so. And we were able to raise funds, and the outpouring of donations, fund donations, really helped us to tide over and make up for the shortage in the food donated items, and for us to have funds to buy food instead.
I also want to know a little bit about Project Blanja. I understand there's some QR code involved here.
Yes, Project Blanja is something that we started in January 2019, and it was a pilot project. We wanted to have beneficiaries, you know, be comfortable in their environment, go down to be able to eat within their living space of that. You know, for beneficiaries, their living space primarily is the nearest polyclinic, the nearest bank, you know, the nearest HDB, the nearest town council, the nearest coffee shop, the nearest market. And we wanted them to be in that comfort zone. So the cards, actually what they're holding is a beneficiary card with a QR code. We talked to hawkers through our local partners to have a app downloaded, phone set. They just read the QR codes on the beneficiary card. We prefixed prizes for a meal. And beneficiaries just need to show their card. Hawkers, participating stores just need to read that on the app. And everything is done back end, and the beneficiaries are able to actually have access to a warm meal a day. And it doesn't need delivery services. They get to step out of the house, which is originally why the project was designed, to get the seniors out of the house and to socialize and interact. And that test project has stood the test of COVID-19. They continue to be able to claim meals. We continue to be able to pay the hawkers. And there was very little face-to-face contact, you know, and there was social distancing. So it worked. It ticked all the boxes. And it also minimized food waste because they get to choose what they eat when they want to eat it. So it is a program that stood the test, and we're going to ramp this up because, you know, it was one of the two programs that were not affected by COVID-19.
Well, it's great. You take what works and you run with it, don't you? Speaking of what has been working, it's a number of budgets from the Singapore government, the Fortitude budget announced by DPM Heng Swee Keat. How is it going to help Food from the Heart?
Well, the Fortitude budget will help us really to enhance our capability and capacity. You know, and COVID has made, I think, the general public, you know, from donors to our hawkers to our partners, you know, to be more receptive towards digital transformation. We have already started on this in 2018 with the help of the Care and Share Fund. And Fortitude budget will help us to carry this through further and to build on what we have started so that we can serve beneficiaries better. This includes tracking consumption patterns. This includes, you know, being more efficient in our delivery processes, data analytics, you know, the hardware, the software, and all this can't be done without money. And Fortitude budget would actually help us to set aside money for this purpose.
Fantastic stuff. We're speaking with Sim B. Hia, who is the CEO of Food from the Heart. There are a couple of websites here that we can look up if we want to help out. I believe one of it is for Project Blanja. That's www.giving.sg/foodfromtheheart/projectblanja. The other one.
Yeah, www.foodfromtheheart.sg. You can have a look at that and see how you can help.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Ms. Im, for taking the time this morning. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.